Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, hey, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Marable, CEO of Employee Cycle. And you know Employee Cycle, we're that people dashboard that's helping all you HR and people leaders out there that always dread the time to do manual, time-consuming, and tedious HR reporting. That's right. We know you're all out there thinking, oh, it's time for me to pull all my data together. I'm going to log into my HRIS, ATS, engagement, performance platform. It's going to take forever. Why can't there be a better way? Well, we've answered your questions with Employee Cycle, a people dashboard that has pre-built connectors to all the most popular HR systems out there. Systems like ADP, Trinet, Bamboo HR, namely 15.5, Reflective, Lattice, you name it. We simply connect to all your systems to pull all your data in to one unified view so you can view, share, track, and analyze all your people data from one place. Go to employeecycle.com to check us out, get a demo, and we would love to show you how we can help you automate your HR reporting and analytics process. But that's enough about me and our product, because today we have a great guest. So please help me welcome to the show, Sharon Heimowitz. She's the Director of People at Cobalt. And today we're going to discuss how to set workforce goals during times of uncertainty. Sharon, welcome to the podcast. Woo! Sharon!
Welcome! Well, thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so happy to be here, especially because this is your very first podcast. So I feel so special and honored as you make your podcast debut.
Thank you. I'm excited.
So Sharon, we're going to ask you the question we always ask to kick things off, and that is, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
I am one of those rare people that all those years ago knew going into school that I wanted to focus on people as a career. Earlier than that, I was interested in social work, and then I became interested in business, and human resources or people operations seemed to be the best match for me. And so I consider myself very blessed. I have had 25 plus years of a career that I have loved every day of.
So you were that rare kid that when everyone was asking in elementary school, what are you going to be? And people said, rock star, firefighter, astronaut. You said, I'm going to work in HR.
Exactly. That was exactly me. I would have done music, but my parents said, let's have something to go along with that.
Got it. That's awesome. So today we're talking about how to set workforce goals during times of uncertainty. And if there's one word that has been overused, and I'm obviously going to keep saying it through this interview, then it's been uncertainty. And I think the only other word that's been as overly used during COVID has been unprecedented. So we're one for two right now. So when it comes to setting workforce goals during times of uncertainty, before we go into specific areas, how do you feel about just setting goals in general? And this could be for work or even in your personal life. What does that feel like? And what's the thought process of trying to figure that out, knowing that everything could totally change at the drop of a dime?
I think we're operating during a time of course, greater uncertainty because we've had so much change, especially in the past 12 months. But if you think about it, life is constantly evolving. Life is constantly changing. There's always new things coming your way, and you have to be able to pivot either towards them or away from them. So you make your plans, but you also build that repertoire of resourcefulness. How do I respond to things that are unexpected? You know, put one foot in front of the other. Be thinking about, if this comes my way, what do I do? And if it's a surprise, well, then maybe you learn a new skill and you pivot in a different direction. But today we have to be able to go with it, because there's more likelihood of things not going as we plan than there is the likelihood that it's going to go as we planned.
Got it. So now I would like to really go into some of the actual areas and specific areas of the workforce where you believe that uncertainty really affects your ability to be able to set goals and plan. So what are some of those areas? I could imagine one of them would be hiring, but it's hard to tell because on one hand, it seems like companies are hiring like crazy because there's either so many people that are unemployed or they're growing so fast because of COVID, ironically helping their business to grow, that that's one of the areas where they're actually exceeding their goals. So I'm curious, what does this look like for you? And what are some of those top areas that you're finding more difficult than before to actually plan?
So I think when it comes to hiring, you know, we're almost a year into the pandemic. And I think so many companies have been able to make that transition to either remote work or hybrid work, that we're starting to see a little bit more of a settling in and the ability to get, you know, more work done or the standard amount of work done, even under different circumstances. So I think we've seen new businesses pop up in response to the pandemic. And of course, there's a lot of industries that have been very hard hit. And a lot of companies have done their best to try and create opportunities for individuals that have had to change the direction that their career perhaps was going in because, you know, of it being affected by the pandemic. So for me, I see us planning pretty much as usual in terms of hiring, you know, all being well. Turns out the business that I'm in right now is, of course, not a brick and mortar. It is a remote based and it's technology. So it lends itself to us being able to plan, you know, more traditionally when it comes to headcount and growing.
So then if that's one of the areas where you're still able to basically go off the same type of goal setting process you had before, what are some of the other areas where it's a little bit more difficult to plan and you're not as certain because of everything that's happening today?
So I think that falls a little bit more under the employee engagement piece of it. You know, adjusting and building that the teamwork, having people be able to be together, getting out to see customers if they, you know, if that's part of your business, being able to have those kind of events where you have that face to face, you build the core and the culture of the organization. But right now, people cannot be together. And so it's a tremendous effort to make sure that your teams are engaged, that your people are interacting, that that the heart of the company is still going on.
What are some of the things or the areas within culture and engagement that you believe you would have had more certainty around or maybe more planning around that you're not able to do as much because of COVID and everything that's happening today?
So for instance, we do offsites, you know, and people really look forward to those offsite meetings. We shifted. We're doing them virtually at this point. We've had a tremendous response to it. It was very, very positive. But we also got a lot of feedback. Boy, I really wish, you know, we can be back in person and be in front of everybody. It's a different kind of camaraderie. And so I think people are missing that.
Got it. So I'm thinking about the different areas of the workforce, whether we're talking about things like diversity, headcount goals, performance goals, engagement goals. And as I'm thinking about all this, I think it would make sense for us to zoom out a bit and really just talk about workforce goals in general and then talk about which of them have changed the most versus which have stayed the same. And so what are some of the most important workforce goals that you have today?
For sure, you know, employee performance, you know, is certainly very important. Growth, you know, being able to grow our people, grow them, you know, enable them to learn new skills, take on greater responsibility, grow their levels. Global expansion is certainly something that is a hot topic. So those are areas that we're very focused on this year.
Okay, so let's go through all three of those. And let's start with performance. In this area, is it totally different based off of what you thought it would be had there not been a pandemic? Or are you managing this more so the same than you would any other time?
I think the process is not really changing, but I do think that it's more challenging because people have not been able to be together, that it result in a different, I don't want to say a different view of performance, but a different way of gathering the information on performance. If you're not walking in the office with somebody, if you're not passing them in the hallway, if you don't have that opportunity to interact as much, then you may have more or less feedback in certain areas on their performance.
All these studies are always coming up on podcasts and blogs, and people keep tweeting and on Facebook and Instagram about how much more work we're getting done and how performance is increasing. But I'm curious, do you believe that? Do you believe that, at least for your company, that people are performing at a higher rate, knowing that there's so many issues that people are dealing with as well? It's so interesting. We keep hearing on one hand, mental health is up, or mental health issues, there's been an increase, and people are stressed and all the things they're doing with their kids and all these issues. We keep just compounding all these issues that everybody's going through. But on the same hand, people are saying, oh, but no, employees, even though they're dealing with all that, they're performing better than they've ever had before. So I'm trying to get some insight into, can both of those exist at the same time? And how do you think that, you know, impacts your organization?
I think they can exist. I mean, it's a known fact that remote workers put in more time than people that are commuting back and forth to an office. And if you think about it, you know, the out of sight, out of mind scenario, being sensitive to, I'm not passing everybody in the hall, you know, or no, I'm not going into anybody's office. They're not coming into mine. I have to make sure that my work is up to par. Is it challenging? Of course it is. You know, you can be in the middle of doing something and there's a spouse or a, you know, a child that's trying to get your attention at the same time. And so I think that there's a bit more of stops and starts to the course of the workday, but I think we've proven just how much we can accomplish in a remote type of setup or in a hybrid setup when times are challenging.
Just to double down on that comment you just made about people putting in more time, do you think people and employees are putting in more time but getting the same amount done than they would have in less time? So meaning that performance per minute or hour has actually went down? Or do you think people are actually putting in more time and getting more done?
I think there's an ebb and flow to it. I think it's both. Because I think that when you work in the same place that you live, your work day is going to be different. There's going to be those stops and starts, and there's going to be, you know, some days where your work day is going to finish at 5 o'clock and you haven't been interrupted. And then there are going to be other days where you had to stop and maybe take your kid to the orthodontist and, you know, you came back and then you picked up work again. Or if you are dealing with global organizations, you may find yourself at different off hours putting in time. So do I think that there's a combination? I do, because some days are really, really productive and other days, just again, because you're working where you live, it be a little bit less.
That makes a lot of sense. So the next goal you were talking about was growth. Tell me a little bit about how growth has either been totally impacted by COVID and everything we're going through, and so it's making it very difficult for you to set goals and plan, or if this is an area where you've still been able to do what you needed to do regardless of the circumstances.
I think that we're, again, accomplishing, you know, what we set out to do, but being remote and as we spoke about a few minutes ago, not necessarily having as much of a visual can impact all of the information that we gather. But I'm really, really confident that a remote workforce is able to mirror and to achieve the same results, the same opportunities as the in-person office, as it used to be.
Tell me about that visual you were just talking about. You said without everyone being in an office, you don't get that visual. So do you mean just visually being able to kind of look around and say, this is how many people we think we have in the office, or this is the vibe or the level of energy that we feel when people are in the office? What are you lacking from not getting that visual that you would have received if everyone was in the office?
You miss that body language. You miss that interaction, that spontaneous, you know, hey, you were out last week on vacation. Let me give you a hug. I'm so glad you're back. That collaboration, it's a different feeling. I at the company I was with prior to the one I'm with now, I had been remote for quite a while before that company. And then I found myself in the office. And I, you know, when we went remote for COVID and then went back slowly, when I would come home from the office, it was a different feeling, a different level of interaction, because we were there. We were together. We could, you want to get a cup of coffee? Let's go. So it's a different feeling, but it works for, you know, some people are 100% happy remote. Some people are 100% about being in the office, and some people thrive in a hybrid environment.
So just to confirm, when it comes to the headcount growth, despite everything that was happening, you were able to set a plan and then achieve those goals.
Correct.
Awesome. All right. So then let's go into the third one that you mentioned around global expansion. Now, I'm just going to take a shot in the dark here, but I'm going to assume that this has to be the one where there's the most uncertainty, and depending on how different countries and different areas of the world are dealing with COVID and everything that's going on, this probably has to be the most challenging one for you, correct?
Certainly. There's a lot that goes into global expansion, you know, a lot of thinking behind it, you know, in terms of where and what and who and when. Absolutely.
Got it. So what were, if you're able to share, what were some of the goals around global expansion for the workforce? And then how is this impacting how you're either optimizing your goals or totally changing your global expansion headcount goals?
So we are actually just starting down that path. So we are in terms of for 2021, we are going to be evaluating what that means for us. But clearly where we are in the pandemic and the workforce, the results of the pandemic are all going to be relevant as we look at what we're going to be doing.
Got it. So let me ask you this. In regards to goal setting in general from an HR and workforce standpoint, after everything that we've been through so far, and today is January 28th, 2021, mm-hmm. Do you feel like you're more prepared for uncertainty or less prepared?
Absolutely more prepared.
In which ways?
I think really from the perspective of we're able to respond to anything that comes our way. We have, you know, certainly are making strategic and educated decisions. But 2020 threw a lot of curveballs our way. And I certainly would expect that there will be 2021 curveballs as well, but we can respond to them. We can work around them. We can get through them. We are well capable of responding to the unexpected as well as planning the expected.
The last question I want to ask is, in this last 60 seconds, if you could share some words of wisdom for the HR or the people leader who's listening to this thinking, I don't feel as though I'm any more prepared today than I was in March, which I've heard from some HR leaders, unfortunately. For them that are listening, what are some words of wisdom that you can give them that could be encouraging and help them find the light at the end of the tunnel to help them become more prepared and to better set goals as we're dealing with all of this uncertainty?
I think when you look back over the previous year, the resourcefulness that all of us have demonstrated, our ability to be able to put one foot in front of the other, our ability to be able to support each other and come through everything that we've come through. We're here. So I think we have to be a little more prideful and a little more confident in our abilities to handle the unexpected. We need to be willing to say, I'm not sure, I don't know, or I'm absolutely positive and let's go. Let's take a chance and let's go. But listen to your inner gut. And the best piece of advice I can give to any HR person is put your heart into it, because we are the heart of every organization. And people look to us for that.
What an awesome way to end the interview. Sharon, thank you so much for being such an awesome guest and for sharing all your knowledge and wisdom around such an important topic. So we really appreciate you. And we really appreciate you allowing us to be the very first podcast you've been on. So go Sharon! Woo! Thank you!
Thank you.
Sharon, where can people find you and Cobalt online?
We are at cobalt.io. I didn't think about that one.
It's all good. We'll look up the website and make sure, and then we'll put it in the show notes when we post. It will be the right link. So for everyone out there listening, if you enjoyed this episode as much as Sharon and I did making it, please leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes because it shows that we're providing great content. Also, if this is the very first time you're listening to our podcast and you either came here because you thought that the topic was compelling or you're already a mega huge super fan of Sharon and you just had to hear what she was going to say, but now you're hungry for more episodes, then please subscribe to the Employee Cycle Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all other major podcast players. And last but not least, all of you super awesome HR and people leaders, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.